Matthew 12, we'll read verses 38 on to 42. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, something greater than Solomon is here." And then turning over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Be reading verses 3 on to 23. "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testify about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then it is coming those who belong to Christ." Today, in on one of the major networks, there's going to be an airing of the musical Jesus Christ Superstar. I suppose it's done by the network recognizing that today is Easter and wanting to attract Christians and have something on the air tonight that they think would be appealing to Christians. And I find there's a certain irony that they would choose Easter of all days to be airing Jesus Christ Superstar. Because if you go back and look at the production all the way back to 1970 and how it's been done in various ways, various locations, a movie as well, the one thing that's lacking is the resurrection, is Easter. It ends with the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so in the production, there is no Easter. And so it's ironic that they would choose to air it on this day. Now there's much debate about what's in there, starting with, you know, should there be a representation of Christ? Who can play that role? There's a pop psychology that's involved in the storyline. The acronyms that are put in there deliberately, it seems, the music and the lyrics, there's much that could be talked about, much that might concern us. But there's one thing that really should concern us as Christians is the fact that it leaves out the resurrection. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no biblical Christianity. There can be weak imitations, but there is no true biblical faith, no true biblical Christianity. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:3 makes the point when he says, I delivered to you a first importance. A first importance. There are a lot of other things that we go through and we look at the Bible and are important. And we can't neglect the nature of God, the nature of man, the nature of sin, the work of the Holy Spirit, how we seek after godliness. But he says these are the things that are of first importance, of the utmost importance. And he goes and mentions three things. First, that Christ died for sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Second, that he was buried. And third, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Those three things. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What's the first importance? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And those three things belong together. We can especially not separate the death and the burial from the resurrection. The death and the burial have no true meaning apart from the resurrection. And so we see the death, burial, and resurrection. Those three ideas. First, it's a death, a very specific death for our sins. We're told there in 1 Corinthians 15. Many have died noble deaths, many have died martyr deaths. But this is a death for a specific purpose. It was for our sins. As we have sinned against God, our sins have to be paid for. They have to be punished. And how could they be punished? Well, it says our sins were put on Jesus Christ and he bared that penalty. And you can think of how it was dark when he died. That fellowship that he enjoyed perfectly with the Father from all eternity was broken. As he felt the wrath of God for us. Secondly, it mentions he was buried. He truly died. The body was placed in a tomb. Everyone acknowledged he was truly dead. Didn't they just pass out? He was dead. But the third thing says, and it's really a prelude, that burial to the fact that there's an empty tomb. That he's raised on the third day. And you may wonder, he died shortly before sunset on Friday, and was raised Sunday morning. How's that 3 days? Well, they use inclusive language. They include part of a day is one day, and so you had Friday and then Saturday and Sunday being the third day. And as we look at that passage in Corinthians, we can note two things there. What happened, as mentioned twice, was in accordance with the Scriptures. This wasn't some plan that went wrong. This was in accord with what God had established. God had told beforehand in the Old Testament what he was going to do. And we can look at some very specific places. The adult class, we look back at Genesis 3:15. We could look at Isaiah 53 that gives great detail. We sang from Psalm 22. We could see all this being planned out, being given to us. And the resurrection as well is in accordance with the Scripture. And in a few moments we'll be singing from Psalm 16 that looks to the resurrection. It's implied there in in Isaiah 53 as it talks about Christ's death, and then it comes on to say he will see his seed, those who believe, implying that he's alive from the dead. All of which pointing to what is the major emphasis of Scripture. The fact that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised again. It's foundational. We can see the importance of the resurrection as we look in 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain and your faith is in vain. Paul was an early convert who experienced meeting the resurrected Lord, and he's saying, if that did not happen, all that I'm preaching is worthless. Your response, your faith is worthless. There's nothing to it. And so we'll be looking at that, especially the resurrection. Noting three things. First is one prediction of the resurrection. Second, we'll look at the credibility of the resurrection. And third, we'll look at some of the implications of the resurrection. So the first point is the prediction of the resurrection. And we looked at Matthew at chapter 12. This is before his death, before it happens, and Jesus tells us that it is going to happen. He's interacting with the religious leaders of his day, the scribes, the Pharisees, and they're very hostile to him. And so they're saying to him, Rabbi or teacher, we wish to see a sign. And if you look at chapter 16, it's a sign from heaven they want to see. They want to see God doing something that Jesus could not take the initiative and do. Because he had been doing signs, he had been healing lepers, he had been healing the blind, he had been restoring their sight and the deaf to the hearing, been casting out demons, he'd been doing all sorts of signs all the way along. But they want something that's so indisputable that has to be the hand of God. And they're aware from the Old Testament that certain of the prophets had been able to do remarkable things, and Naaman the leper had been cleansed by a prophet. Several had been dead, were raised from the dead. through a prophet. So they wanted something unmistakable. And we should too. Because it's easy to fake some of these things. You maybe go to a show and there's a mind reader. And he's able to tell people things that they about themselves. And how does he do that? Well, as the crowd's outside, he has his associate out there, and he overhears a conversation, and there's a woman with an orange blouse on, and says, saying to her friend, my cat's so sick. I'm wondering if I should put her down, if that'd be better. And the friend said, well, Mary, you need to do that. And then what does he do? Well, the information is relayed, and he gets up there. Is there a woman named Mary with an orange blouse here? Well, oh, yeah. Have we ever met? Oh, no. Do you have a cat? And is that cat sick? Oh, yeah. I'm concerned about Tubby. Oh, yeah, Tubby. Yeah, Tubby is really, really sick. Well, I have a message from Tubby for you. Put me to death, and I'll come back as a spirit in the next cat. Oh, yay! The woman goes away happy. The crowd thinks, oh, how could he know all that? He has a little thing in his ear and an associate that overheard the conversation and overheard the next one, and that's the next person. Is there a Tom here? And you're worried about your car, Tom. You need to get a new one. Whatever. There's ways that things can be manipulated. So they wanted a sign that could not be manipulated. Something that the prophets hadn't done. And notice Jesus' answer. He's not going to give them a sign except one. But what a sign that was. He's going to give them the sign of Jonah. And thankfully we have an understanding, because it's written in Scripture what that is. That it's just that Jonah was in the great fish for 3 days. As good as dead. Until he was spit out on dry land. So Jesus was going to be in the belly of the earth for 3 days before he came back to life. He was dead and he was buried. But he did not stay buried. He was raised on the third day. And we might notice, if you look at 1 Corinthians 15:4, as it talks about the death and the burial and the resurrection, it says Jesus was raised. Implies a passage. Somebody did that to him. Who raised him from the dead? He didn't raise himself from the dead. Throughout Scripture, it's the Father who raised him from the dead. And so they're asking to see a sign from God. God doing something. And God gives them that sign. He does something remarkable in raising a sign from the dead. Well, we could look at a whole bunch of other prophecies. We'll be singing from Psalm 16. It was written 1,000 years before it ever took place. The resurrection of the Messiah by the Father indicates his uniqueness, points to the centrality of his death, burial, and ultimately his resurrection on the third day. Second point to see here is the credibility of the resurrection. The fact that it truly happened. And we can be certain that it did happen. We don't have time to to look at all the passages that talk about the resurrection appearances of Christ. After he was dead, he was alive and was seen. And all the evidences, there's psychological evidence in terms of this group that was so discouraged, despondent, they're hiding out. And suddenly, they're bold and they're on the street and preaching. How could they do that? Well, the resurrection explains that. We have accounts that are not even mentioned in 1 Corinthians, which we'll look at, to Mary Magdalene and the other women, to two on the road to Emmaus and some others. But I want us to look at the ones that are given here. And the interesting thing is that the accounts and who saw the resurrected Christ are not all the same. And sometimes people doubt, well, they disagree. Some of the ones that Paul lists are not mentioned other places, and the ones that are mentioned other places are not. And some find that troubling. But it shouldn't be. Because what's troubling, police go and investigate a crime, and they maybe it's making a fraternity make it, and all the fraternity brothers agree on the same thing. The police will immediately think they're hiding something, because you don't have witnesses to give the same account unless they've been rehearsing it, unless they're trying to hide something. And if somebody were to just walk in the door right now and come forward and put some money on the table, we'd all be able to agree, yeah, they did it. But if we started looking at the details and somebody said, oh, you know, he had green socks, maybe none of the rest of us would have noticed that. But it doesn't mean that that person is wrong. Different people notice different things, and they write different things. And so we have here a pretty good list in verses 5 to 8 of people who are eyewitnesses to the resurrection. The first one is Cephas, and that's the name Peter, also known as Simon Peter. And we don't know exactly how or when this happened. It was on the first day of that first Easter. And you had the two, and Luke, on the road of Emmaus, they come back, and what are they greeted with? They were greeted with, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon, or as he's called here, Cephas. After that, there's the mention to the 12. That's a reference to the apostles, that inner circle of friends. And that is likely on the first day of the week in the evening, as they were gathered together in the upper room, and they were had the doors locked because they were afraid of the Jews, we're told, and Jesus comes and appears in their midst. Next, there's a mention of an appearance to 500. Now, he told them to go up to Galilee, and it's likely that at Matthew 28, Jesus appears there and speaks to a large group, gives them a final command that we'll be mentioning later. And the important point is that Paul makes the point that most of those 500 were still alive. Now, he's writing in about 55 AD, some 25 years later. And some have naturally died along the way, but most were still alive. And if you had your doubts about the resurrection, Paul is saying to you, go and find one of those people. Go and find maybe two or three, if you're very skeptical, and ask them, did you see, did you hear the resurrected Jesus Christ? And they would be able to affirm, yes, we did. Yes, I did. This is what he said to me on that occasion. Same thing today. Some of you may doubt that there was ever a time before there was an internet. Well, you can go to one of us who are older and you can ask us questions. What was it like? How did you communicate? How could you send pictures to somebody you wanted to? You could find out all about it. He mentioned next James. And that's likely his brother or half-brother, the author of the book of James. And you may recall in the gospel accounts that he and his brothers were hostile to Jesus and what they were doing. And suddenly he goes on, he's now changed completely. He becomes a leader in the church. How is that possible? Well, as he meets his brother who died but is now alive. Next, it mentions all the apostles. The first time was the apostles in general, but the first time they went, one of those apostles was missing, that Thomas. And the second time Jesus appears in the upper room, they're all there, including Thomas. Thomas, who is skeptical, who was hard to convince, who said, you know, unless I see his hands and his feet and put my fingers in his side, you know, I won't believe. Thomas, who at that point, when he does see the resurrected and living Christ, says, my Lord and my God. He understood who Jesus was. And then the last one, Paul mentions this as himself. It's a little bit later than the others. He was on the road to Damascus. He was persecuting the church. We saw that in 1 Corinthians. He's bent on destroying it. And he sees the living Christ on the road to Damascus. His life has changed because of that encounter. If we have any tendency to doubt the resurrection, if we wonder if it really happened, look at the list. Number of different times, to one or two individuals, to a whole group, as many as 500, to women and men, to inner circle of friends, to those who are hostile, all could witness to the resurrection. Jesus, who died and who was buried, was raised on the third day. They were eyewitnesses. And then the third point, as we could note some implications, I'll just note three this morning. First is the one that's found in Romans 4:25. Romans is describing the work of Christ, what he did, and that section ends with the fact that he was delivered over for our transgressions, delivered over by the Jews to Romans to be executed. And then it goes on to say, and he was raised for our justification. The resurrection is important for our justification. It's tied to it. And what is the apostle saying at that site? What's if God has given his stamp of approval on the work of Christ? How do we know that that work was accepted? How do you know that your sins have been forgiven? How do you know that Jesus didn't die in vain? It's because the Father raised him in his good pleasure, pleased with the work of the Son, raised him from the dead. That his work of dying for his people results in our being seen as right, seen just by God. Second implication is that Jesus is the first fruits of the dead. Verse 20 in 1 Corinthians 15. After saying, well, there are those who seem to be saying there's no resurrection for the dead, saying, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And going on to say, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. How do we know that a man could travel to the moon, walk around on the surface of the moon, pick up some samples and come back to Earth? Well, Neil Armstrong did it. And a few seconds later, Buzz Aldrin followed him onto the moon. He was the first fruits of those who went to the moon and came back. How do we know there's a resurrection of the dead? How do we know that this life isn't all that there is? That there is no resurrection? We have first fruits in Jesus. And that's a really an agricultural term, that when you got the first fruits, you know that there was more coming along. It was that first sweet fruit that indicated that there was a harvest coming. And Jesus is the first fruits of the dead, saying, we will be raised from the dead. And third implication, it's found in Matthew 28, as you look at the final verses in the book. As Jesus raised from the dead, speaks to his followers, and this is probably the time when the 500 are there. He gives them a task. Go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching and baptizing. As the one living from the dead, who's been given all power and authority in heaven and earth, who promises to be with them and to be with us through all that we go through, he commissions his followers to go and to make disciples, to teach and to baptize. And it goes back to that empty tomb. That truth that's of first importance, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was truly dead, was buried in the ground, and was raised on the third day. Victorious over sin, victorious over Satan, victorious over death itself. And so how sad you have a musical like Jesus Christ Superstar that leaves out the most important part. The part that we need to understand what Jesus did and the importance of the resurrection. It's what we celebrate each day when we come together, not on the last day of the week, but on the first day of the week, to celebrate. Let me mention three applications this morning. First, you'll hear those who doubt, who say the resurrection is a made-up story, to give comfort to people, that Jesus Christ was just raised in spirit, his spirit lives on among us. The scriptures make it inherently clear that the resurrection was real. That Christianity rises and falls on the resurrection. If he was not raised, then the preaching is vain, faith is vain, Christianity is useless. But in verse 20, but in fact, the truth is, and there are many witnesses, he was raised from the dead. Second, there's a response called for. You may have noticed it in Matthew 12, where Jesus speaks about the sign that of Jonah is going to give, and what do the people need to do? Those religious leaders, those people who were very religious in what they did, they needed to repent. They needed to turn away from themselves, and they needed to turn to Jesus Christ. And that is still what everyone needs to do. We need to repent, turn away from our sin, turn away from our selfishness, turn away from trusting ourselves, and put our trust in Jesus Christ for salvation for this life. And third, having done that, you, along with the 500 others, along with the apostles, have been commissioned to go and to make disciples. To help others understand who Jesus Christ is and how they need to respond to it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for the resurrection. We give thanks for the death of Jesus Christ, an atoning death, a death for sinners, a death so our sins could be covered over, a true death, and the fact that he was buried. But we give thanks that the grave could not hold him. He was raised from the dead on the third day. And what that means for us in terms of a new life that's available and a resurrection from the dead. That the grave is not the end, but for the Christian, the beginning of eternal life with you forever. We give thanks for what Christ accomplished. Help us each one to respond to that message. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.